You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you all the latest travel news, tips, and tricks every week. A little bit of housekeeping before we get started on this week's episode. If you're enjoying the podcast, I hope you'll do me two small favors. First, hit that little subscribe button wherever you're listening, whether that's iTunes or Google Play or SoundCloud. That helps folks find the podcast. And then if you can rate it, give us a great rating if you like it, or send us a note if you don't like it so you can figure out what we can do better. But those two things help us share the podcast with more folks and grow our audience, which is definitely what we want to do. We've got a pretty full episode today. We got my buddy Trevor from Tagging Miles on talking about an interesting novel way to earn miles and points that we haven't really talked about on the show yet. We'll cover another It's a Big Deal segment with Jen from Deals We Like, and we'll wrap up with Gilbert back on the podcast from God Save the Points on a way to save on airfare that you might not have heard of yet. Before we get into all that, I've got producer Mike on with me from Co-Workaholic to talk a little bit of news and notes this week. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's hot and muggy in DC, but that's pretty much summertime and not much else you can expect. And, we pulled apart a couple of stories to talk about today. And The first one up was something that you had sent over, which I remember the original coverage on, where a woman was sitting behind two people on a flight and was sort of live tweeting this guy and gal sort of getting to know each other, potentially some romantic interests there. And it was a big celebration and it all sounded really positive. I heard a bunch of folks talking about it. And then it sounds like it's turned into a little bit of a negative for these folks.
Yeah. Hashtag Plane Bay. And for those of you out there that haven't heard about this, this is Plane Bay with a B-A-E. I hadn't heard about it until my dad actually sent me an email about it. To be honest, I think I'd be guilty of something like this. You know, as well as anyone that follows on Instagram, I love doing stories. I was kind of documenting a drunken bro beach Olympics here in Chicago yesterday. And I didn't ever really think twice about, oh, these people might not necessarily want me to be posting this online. Even though I thought it was funny, it led a lot of people to have a couple very different questions about that behavior. The response has been quite interesting, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. So the woman who was the subject of this social media stuff that went viral, a guy in a gallon of light, she came out and said that essentially she was inundated with attention. Some of it quite bizarre and harassing. And I can certainly understand why she'd be distraught by that. I would be distraught by that if that happened to me. I guess I just didn't see that side of it until she put it out there. And I'm glad she did, because I think there's certainly a lesson to be learned. And I talk about this in terms of, negative incidents on planes. But, our first reaction a lot of times now is to pull out our phone and start recording. And that may not be the best choice.
Yeah, I guess so. Perfect example, the blog post you had on Pizza in Motion that I missed and I sent you that video of that guy trying to cram in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is legit hilarious. And I'm sorry, but like, if you couldn't figure that out, but I think that the woman who was posting, I think she almost took it like one step too far. And it was almost like she was making it more about herself and maybe imparting intentions that she would love to see in her life somehow. Like, oh, I helped this amazing couple meet and they lived happily ever after. It's kind of like, we do live in the day and age where there are cameras everywhere. And so for those of us that travel more often than others, we see a lot more. And it's just maybe kind of finding that balance as to what we think is appropriate / offensive. I don't know. I mean, that guy might be really embarrassed that video is live, but I haven't laughed that hard in a while,
Yeah. And I almost thought about not sharing that video for those reasons, but I ended up sharing it anyway. I thought it was funny and yeah, maybe that's right or wrong, but I think those are certainly challenges that we face in today's day and age. Our next story is one It's very near and dear to my heart, and that sounds sort of nerdy when we're going to be talking about an airplane, but JetBlue placed a very large order for an airplane that most folks listening have never heard of. It's called the Airbus A220. It's really the Bombardier C series, which through a number of sort of odd circumstances is now pretty much an Airbus product. The interesting thing about this, I was on the very first fuselages of this before it was even a plane, where it was a concept up in Canada that Bombardier had us up to see. And the reality of it was that this plane was never supposed to fly in the U.S. They believed for a number of reasons, including something called a scope clause in terms of what size planes the airlines can fly, and other things like just how many flight attendants are required by the FAA, and the fact that this plane sort of saddled an area where it might be a little bit more expensive to fly than, say, an 80 or a 90 seat plane. But the interesting thing was what Bombardier set out to do, and this is, I think, the key for folks listening, with the inundation of basic economy coming to almost everywhere, less legroom on so many planes. The C series is awesome for a couple of reasons. Sorry, the A220. First is it's a 2-3 configuration, which means on the left-hand side of the plane, you'll never have a middle seat, sort of like the old American Airlines MD-80s. And second, the plane has massive overhead bin space, such that they should be able to fit tons of roller birds on board. And third, the aisle is wider than a lot of other narrow body crafts. And so what you get here is you get a much better passenger experience. And based on the way Bombardier said they built the plane, it's going if that stays true to form, it'll be very hard for airlines to reconfigure this to be an uncomfortable plane. So if these get in the air the way they're supposed to, this should be sort of like the battle back against basic economy for passengers.
So quick question. How would you compare them in size or experience to the new 737 Maxes that, a lot of airlines seem to be rolling out with?
Yeah, it's a lot smaller. 737 Max in, say, like the 800 version is going to seat, at least 50 more passengers in a coach configuration. This plane should be somewhere around 100 seats, although there's a lot of talk now as a stretch to this, what they call the 300 variant, where we'll probably see more than 100 seats in some configurations. So, for example, if JetBlue decides not to do mint on these planes, which I don't think they would, they could definitely see more than 100 seats in an all economy configuration. But again, like I said, I think it'll be less than that because JetBlue does do some stuff with extra legroom. And so it may stretch to hold sort of like what the smallest 737s are supposed to hold. But I do think where it'll end up is that a lot of airlines will use this in the 100 to 120 seat range.
And you mentioned Mint. So you're expecting them to do a wide variety of routes because currently Mint's really only their business class equivalent for transcontinental or, their popular routes from New York to Florida. So this plane could handle those distances quite well.
I don't think they'll put Mint on these planes, though. I mean, it certainly has the range to do transcon flights. I just don't see them putting Mint on these planes. I envision these will probably take the seats of the Embraer 190s that JetBlue flies now, and those are right around 100 seats. So I view it'll be that sort of, them adding capacity on routes, say from New York to Florida, so they can have more frequency throughout the day. And like I said, the upside here is when you compare it to, say, an Embraer 190, passengers should get wider seats. There's less, obviously less middle seats, larger overhead bins, and just a much more spacious feel in the cabin. I still haven't flown on one of these. There's only a handful of them right now flying in Europe, but I'm certainly going to be excited to see these in the U.S. in, call it 2 or 3 years.
Besides JetBlue, are there any other carriers that kind of, I know sometimes the order might not be public, but rumor has it, is there anyone else that's kind of kicking their tires, seeing if they want to supplement them with their, into the fleet with them?
So Delta has an order along with JetBlue. That was sort of what spurred this whole thing along because of some sanctions that the U.S. government put on the plane when Delta bought them super cheap from Bombardier. Gotcha. There are other orders that I don't actually think will come to fruition, mostly because of airlines that don't have the ability to fly it based on agreements with their union, based on the size of the plane. So I do think Delta and JetBlue is probably where the water's edge is for a lot of airlines in the U.S. You see like a Spirit or somebody pick that up, depending on what their scope clause could be. But, over the next few years, I think we should see a plane that might make economy flying fun again.
Well, I know we could talk about that for the entire episode.
We sure could.
Dots, Lands, and Destinations should probably have you on, and just you guys can geek out on that.
We can nerd out on the C-Series A220, but you're right. We do want to make sure that we stay on pace. And you had an article that I wanted to cover as well, briefly, and that's with JetSmarter having another free membership offer. They had one of these, probably about 18 months, 2 years ago. But you brought this up to me the other day, and I think it's really cool for some folks if they have the opportunity to jump on this.
Yeah, I didn't know they had a free membership offer until now. So I guess maybe you might be on their A list. I'm on their B list. For those of you that aren't familiar, JetSmarter, it's one of many different apps out there. I hate using the Uber of ... But essentially, that's what it is. There's a variety of apps out there that either do helicopter sharing or jet sharing. If someone's chartered a private jet, you can grab a seat. You know, they've got extra seats. And then they've started rolling out some routes where they see a lot of frequency. And so for the last 2 years, I've gotten all these discounted offers, but even 50% off, an annual membership is like $2,500 still. But there's this Christmas in July promo, and they're giving membership pricing to anyone to book through July 25th. And so you have to do some searching, and you most definitely have to have some flexibility because, you know, DC to New York for $220 is great, but you're flying into White Plains. So, I mean, you just have to take into consideration where you're landing. But there were some really, really great prices that shocked me. I found New York to either San Francisco or Los Angeles for $11.50. I mean, that's cheaper than sometimes what you're paying for a premium transcontinental product. But the biggest one was New York to London, private, for $4,665.
Yeah, you can buy that. You can buy that one. I'll use my points and miles.
Well, yeah. But still, if you compare that price to a retail, if you were booking it on another date, it's $29,000. So the fact that you could fly private if you were willing to fly on one of 2 days in a single month, it might be worth checking out, you know?
Yeah, it definitely could be worth checking out. I do like the short, cheap DC to New York fares, and especially those Transcon premium fares. And you guys we'll have the link in the show notes, but you can find Mike's post on coworkaholic.com to get more details on the JetSmarter deal. We've got a jet away for a quick break. We'll be back with Trevor from Tagging Miles to talk ways to earn more points and miles. And as I said, we'll also have another It's a Big Deal segment, and we'll wrap up with Gilbert again from God Save the Points. For now, we'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
If you're listening to this podcast, you know the places miles and points can take you. Maybe you've been saving up those miles and points to plan that special once-in-a-lifetime trip, but you can't find what you're looking for. The experts at BookYourReward.com have redeemed over 3 billion miles. That's billion, with a B. You won't find anyone with more experience to book your dream vacation. BookYourReward.com will provide you with concierge booking services to get you where you want to go, how you want to get there, and using the rewards program of your choice. All for a lot less than the cost of a domestic coach airline ticket. For listeners of the Miles to Go podcast, with a special limited time offer, receive a $25 Amazon gift card with your first paid booking at BookYourReward.com. Drop us a line at milestogopodcast@gmail.com with your itinerary for more details.
And we're back. Next subject up today is an interesting one. I've been collecting miles and points for almost 20 years now, which definitely makes me feel old. There have been so many different things that have popped up over the years that were ways to earn lots of miles and points, and some of them I got involved in, some of them I didn't. Suffice to say, there are certainly less opportunities today than there used to be to earn gobs and gobs of points without a whole lot of work. Well, there are still ways to earn gobs and gobs of points without getting on airplanes or staying in hotels. But, the one we're going to talk about today does require some work. I don't want to mislead you. There's work involved, but it can be, profitable from a cash standpoint and also profitable from a miles and point standpoint. And I brought my friend Trevor on from Tagging Miles to walk through it with us. He's certainly one of the guys who has really deep knowledge in this space. Hey, Trevor, thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
Hey, thanks, Ed. Really glad to be here.
I have been on Trevor's podcast, The Observation Deck, a couple of times, but this is Trevor's first time on Miles to Go with us. And when he's not writing about miles and points, what Trevor is doing is something called reselling. And that may either sound simple or complicated, and it's probably a little bit of both. And that's probably a great place to start. Trevor, tell folks just a little bit about what reselling is.
So there's, I would gauge it in three different ways. For reselling, there's gift card reselling, which I think a lot of folks in the miles and points kind of manufactured spend community understand the most, where you're buying gift cards and, you know, at some amount of a discount, and then you're selling them and you're hoping to either, you know, break even or, you know, make a little bit of money. Then you've got reselling, retail arbitrage and online arbitrage. Retail arbitrage is where you're going into Walmart or Target and you're buying products. Essentially, you're buying them lower than you can sell them. You sell them higher. I do it on Amazon mostly. And then the third option is online arbitrage, where you're leveraging those shopping portal points or shopping portals to get even more points. They're give you an example of a deal that we're seeing every so often. There are these Dymo printers that Staples likes to sell likes to go on clearance every couple of months. And so you can stack that with either 2X American 5% cash back you promise, and then you also get your 5X Chase Ultimate Rewards points.
Yeah, so you're turning around and you're buying something like that, and then you're reselling it either at the same price or, you know, more hopefully at a profit. And when I say same price, you know, Trevor may be selling it for more than what he paid, but there's you know, there's stuff in between, which is a highly technical term for you know, shipping costs, you know, packing supplies, and also your time, you know, because you're investing time moving these things. And you know, the reason why I wanted to have Trevor on today, I'm going to be speaking at an event that he holds on an annual basis called Reselling Do, and it's a collection of some of the folks who are the best and brightest minds in the reselling world, which would you know, which would make you wonder why I'm there. And I'm still trying to figure that out myself, but I'll be talking about a couple of things that that I have a little bit of experience in. But the goal there is it's a day long event where you can learn about reselling and figure out if it's a, not only if it's the right fit for you, but if you are a reseller, some more involved strategies. Is that an appropriate description, Trevor?
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. And as far as why I had asked you to come and present is a couple of things. I mean, you do some of what I would call traveltage, so travel arbitrage, where, I mean, I think you and I have discussed this. You'll buy stuff while you're traveling that, you know, might be a local flavor, and then sell it on eBay. You know, you've got kind of that very, very, you know, kind of beginnerish experience where it's
very beginnerish.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's important because this reselling do is really geared toward beginners. It's geared toward folks that want to earn more miles and might not want to, you know, go through the Walmart manufactured spending approaches with the money order lines, or might not otherwise have an idea of how they can generate more miles just, you know, through means other than their daily spend.
Yeah, and I think the reality of it is that I've tried to do a little bit of each of these things so that when people you know, ask me questions, I can give them a mildly informed perspective. I'm certainly not an expert. I normally point folks to experts if they have very detailed questions. But, you know, I've done a little bit of gift card stuff and, you know, the Walmart money orders and things like that. I've done a little bit of reselling just to sort of get a flavor for it. And I think that's one of the reasons why I was trying to attend your event last year and couldn't make it because of some scheduling conflicts. But the agenda last year, you know, really outlined a way for folks to learn about this. And I think that's the intrigue of the event is that I don't think there's anybody else that I know that's doing an event like this. There are plenty of frequent traveler sorts of events, but this one focuses specifically on things that you can do sort of as a side job that can help you earn as little or as many miles as you can stomach with the time that you have. So, and Trevor, you've been doing reselling do how many years now?
Gosh, Ed. So we've been doing reselling do. I want to say this is our sixth or seventh reselling do, and we've been trying to do them two a year after the first year. So I want to say the first one was 2015 or 2014, and we're actually returning back to the place that we had the first reselling do, which is Jailbreak Brewery in Maryland.
Yeah, and so your ticket gets you access to the events. It also gets you some beer, which is never really a bad thing. What else? What sorts of topics do you think you guys will cover this time? Do you have the agenda set besides me, I assume?
So yeah, we do have the agenda set. I'll also include that you do get breakfast and, or at least a light bite for breakfast, and you get a pretty nice lunch. They've installed a wonderful restaurant now. At Jailbreak, but we'll be talking about merch by Amazon, which isn't necessarily as focused on points generation as it is leveraging creativity to earn money. Haley Bach, who's a big Disney fan, is going to be talking about merch, and then we'll talk online arbitrage if you want to try to maximize those shopping portals, and then we'll also talk retail arbitrage, and I'll walk folks through. Actually, in specific, I'll probably walk folks through target sourcing, just because that's kind of an easy thing to kind of wrap your head around.
Yeah, let me tell you guys, from a rabbit hole standpoint, there are some tools out there that Trevor showed me for how you source stuff that are, I won't necessarily say mind-blowing, because there's plenty of things, tools I've seen folks use in the miles and points world that are very, very detailed. But these are very, very detailed resources, which I think helps put some guardrails on folks who may want to get into this, because there is a risk of losing real money on this, and obviously you have the risk of losing your time. Before we run out of time, Trevor, give folks an example of a really crazy, great reselling opportunity that you've come across in the past 5 or 6 years.
So one really awesome opportunity that I had a lot of fun with were DJI Phantom drones. There just happened to be a couple of different deals. I think it was Newegg and maybe B&H Photo, where you could buy these things for $599 to $899 and then sell them for like $1,500. Now, that's not making, wow. That doesn't mean that I'm making, let's say, $800-$900 on these things, because there are those fees with Amazon. The drones are a little bulky and everything, but I mean, it generated a ton of miles points, and it actually, it worked out pretty well, other than one kind of funky return where somebody had stripped the DJI Phantom across like completely.
I remember this. Yeah, they sent you back just like pieces in a box.
Yeah. I mean, I say that not to scare people about returns and stuff, but just like,
yeah, there's some risk.
Yeah, there is some risk. I kind of get a laugh out of it now. I mean, because Amazon made me whole on that, right? So all I had to do was document it, and Amazon looks at it and says, "Oh, well, this is clearly fraudulent," and so they take it in the hit versus me taking a hit. And so, kind of everything ended up nicely, but it was really kind of fun to be able to say, hey, I'm selling drones.
Yeah, no, that is cool. All right. Well, folks, you'll have it in the show notes on where to find information on reselling do. You can also register for the event still. It's coming up in September, so you still have time to get into this next event where I'll be at. Trevor, when you're not on the podcast with me or on the observation desks, tell people where they can find you.
Well, you can also find me at taggingmiles.com, part of the Saverosity blogger crew. And you can find me on Twitter at TMount, TMOUNT.
Great. Thanks for being on, Trevor. We've still got our It's a Big Deal segment coming up, and we're going to finish off with Gilbert back from God Save the Points on with us again. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
This episode of Miles to Go is sponsored by GoGo In-Flight Internet. GoGo brings the internet to the sky, so planes fly smarter, airlines perform better, and passengers travel happier.
Their new Blazing Fast 2KU antenna delivers industry-leading speeds, up to 15 megabits per passenger device, and is currently available on over 400 planes, flying in over 65 countries worldwide. Get GoGo, travel happier.
Welcome back for another It's a Big Deal segment with my buddy Jen from Deals We Like. We're talking Hyatt today and how to get the status quicker. Hey, Jen, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me again.
Great to have you on. We're talking a little miles to go, shortcut to status, and World of Hyatt's been doing a bunch of things lately, including rolling out a new credit card. And one of the things that they've got going on this summer is a way to earn status quicker if you're staying at certain properties inside the system, right?
Absolutely, yes. So they just recently rolled out a promotion if you happen to be staying at an Andaz property. So that's one of the chains underneath the Umbrella Hotel. And while they don't have that many Andaz hotels, throughout the world, there's probably less than 10. If you happen to be visiting one, that will definitely help you reach status a lot quicker, hopefully. And especially since they raised the criteria, this is definitely one way to help.
Yeah, and there are some great Andaz properties. A couple off the top of my head that I can think of. There's an Andaz in Costa Rica, Andaz Papagayo, that gets great reviews. It's been on my radar since it opened.
Me too.
There's an Andaz in West Hollywood, which if you have just a bit of history there, it was the original Riot Hyatt, where way back in the day, music bands used to party on the decks there. But there's definitely a handful of properties. There's an Andaz in Amsterdam that's beautiful as well that my wife and I had drinks at a couple of years ago. So there are opportunities to double up here. And when you think about it in terms of, let's say you need 30 nights for Discoverist or 60 nights for Globalist, if you had a week at one of these properties, well, gosh, now instead of getting 6 or 7 nights worth of credit, you're going to get 12 or 14, which is a real big jump in status.
Absolutely. I mean, that's huge. And I know there's definitely people out there that will be taking advantage, and that will allow them to, go over that hump and earn that status, which is really nice. I mean, usually Andaz properties are quite pricey, so this is definitely not, a mattress run worthy promotion to earn status, most likely. I'm sure there's people out there that will find ways to make it, with any points and miles promotion. But if you happen to be staying, and I don't think I mentioned this yet, the time frame is July 1st through August 31st. So you have, 2 months to be staying at these properties. And the one thing is you have to check out by that date.
Right.
And so that is something good to know. So if you have a stay, August 30th through September, through the end of September, for example, that will not count. You need to make sure to check out by August 31st. So you might have to break up your stays, your reservations if needed. So that is one thing to know, because I know check-in, check-out dates with promotions can sometimes be a little finicky.
Yeah, and a couple of other places to consider. There's an Andaz in Ottawa, Canada. You've got some over in Asia, Shanghai, Singapore. We talked about Andaz Costa
Manhattan.
Rica. Yep, Manhattan. There's one in Napa, Palm Springs. They rebranded one of the properties in Georgia, in Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Andaz Mayakoba. Mayakoba. And there's an Andaz Maui in Hawaii. So there's definitely a solid handful of properties that you can try and stack this up at. As Jen said, it's probably not mattress run worthy, but if you're close on status and you're trying to decide between, say, multiple Hyatts in Hawaii for a vacation, this might be something to consider. Moving a couple of nights over to an Andaz property if it helps you get to that next status level.
Right. And also something to note is that stays using points or points plus cash also count towards your status. So,
it's funny. I didn't go deeply enough in this. I didn't know point stays counted, which is great. If you've got a bunch of points and you're taking a vacation, this would be a nice little shortcut if that works out for you, either in July or August of this year.
Mm-hmm. And you also do not need to register for this promotion. So this is one of the few promotions out there. You do not need to register. You'll automatically get the extra nights in your account. They state at during the first week of September, so it won't go right away after your stay, but once the promotion's over.
All right, guys, there you have it. Another way to creep your way up to status with stays that you might already have planned. Jen, let folks know where they can find you when you're not on the podcast with me.
Sure. You can find me at my blog at dealswelike.com. You can also email me at dealswelike@gmail.com and then via Facebook, Twitter, and I just started my Instagram handle not too long ago. So anything at dealswelike, you should be able to get in touch with me.
And you can find her here pretty much every week on Miles to Go, talking deals and helping folks save money and earn miles quicker. Jen, thanks again for being on with us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back on Miles to Go. All right, welcome back. Next up, we've got a fun segment on how to save money on your next airline ticket. And the interesting thing is that I didn't actually know about this trick, and I don't want to say I know about everything by far, but this is a pretty cool new development in terms of how to book airline tickets. And my friend Gilbert from God Save the Points was the one that brought it to my attention, and it was like, wow, this is perfect for a podcast segment. Gilbert, I think this is your third time back on with us. Thanks for coming back on to talk with us.
I'm starting to feel pretty popular. I'm liking it.
I think you were pretty popular before this. Anyway, I'm going to tee this up a little bit, and then I'm going to let you run with it because, you know, as I said to our listeners, I wasn't aware of this until you wrote about it. You know, there apparently are a handful of airlines right now who are saving their lowest fares, not for Expedia or your other favorite online travel agency booking, not even necessarily for their website, but they're putting these fares in their apps.
Yeah, so I think this is a really interesting development. I think it's nowhere near where it will go, which is kind of exciting. But already you're starting to see exciting things like some of the deals this week, which were available only in the app and add savings, in some cases, over $100 versus any other fare you could find.
Yeah, give us an example of one of these.
Yeah, so the one that caught my eye this week was Singapore. It's one of, you know, every travel blogger's favorite airlines. They are fantastic. And they had premium economy flights that had a big 4th of July sale from San Francisco to Hong Kong. Online and anywhere else you went to book, they were $999, which in itself is a great deal.
Yeah, that is a great deal for premium. Yeah.
But if you downloaded their app, they had an app-exclusive fare of $899, which is a screaming deal. That's, you know, for round trip premium economy on direct flights to Hong Kong and probably the world's best premium economy, that's about as good as you're going to get. So I thought that was a really cool thing to do.
$100 for downloading the airline's app strikes me as a great deal. And I'm sure the airline is, you know, quote unquote, losing money on that $100 discount because it doesn't cost them anywhere near that in travel agency booking fees. But it's an interesting play to try and get customers to come back to the airline for booking, which in theory should give them a lot more control over the process.
Totally. I mean, I think of apps on my phone, like, you know, BBC News or whatever. They can ping me, you know, a big piece of news whenever it comes out. I'm always a click away, you know, or an app notification away from becoming a customer, you know, from engaging with them. And so I think airlines are seeing that they don't want you to be the person that thinks about travel every 6 months and maybe goes to their website, maybe goes to Expedia or something like that. They want to be a part of your kind of lifestyle. And by getting onto your phone, I think they see that as their best shot of encouraging repeat business, easy booking. And I think that they're really investing heavily in the tech behind that to make exciting things happen.
What airlines are you seeing this on right now other than Singapore? Have you seen any others?
Yeah, so again, I think it's in its infancy. So this is a watch this space kind of thing. Qatar has done a lot of these kind of promos. Most of them have been intended for the mobile application, but have actually been bookable online, you know, so you'll see like a, you know, discount code that says, you know, like QR mobile 15 or whatever, which is 15% off of flights, you know, the airfare, not the taxes.
Right.
But again, it's a discount. If you're buying an expensive ticket, it could be a huge discount. And in theory, it should only work on the app. But for now, they don't have the, you know, the proficiency. But I think as time goes on, this is something we'll see more and more airlines investing in. You already see it with airline upgrade offers.
Sure.
Through their apps. A lot of the best upgrade offers you'll ever see come through the airline app. So as I think they make these more dynamic sales strategies, you know, these ways to engage with customers one-on-one rather than just kind of set one price for everyone, I think we'll see a lot more rollout. So right now it's, you know, it's primarily Singapore, Qatar, Cathay, I think British Airways has the bandwidth to do it. They haven't really done it yet, but I'd imagine this is something that will catch on very quickly.
I would think so, especially with the trend of airlines continuing to sell more and more add-ons, if you will, and the big OTAs like Expedia not necessarily having the plumbing to sell all those add-ons directly to a customer. And so if they get you the best deal in their app, they've got a great way to be able to sell you, you know, a meal, a seat assignment, you know, an excursion, you know, whatever it is that's not selling well that day that they can tack onto your ticket.
Totally. And while, you know, it's a bit of kind of a, you know, a bit like the film Minority Report, but, you know, they kind of know you as a customer. If you're using the app and if you're a repeat customer, they kind of get your profile down and they say, hey, Ed, we noticed you didn't book a bag. You know, how about this 30% off offer just for you if you add a bag right now? And so I think there'll be a lot of interesting things to come where the booking experience will be personalized and airlines will base it on you rather than them.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of customization to come. I think it's going to be a very interesting space. You know, we'll be linking to Gilbert's post in the show notes, but I'm sure he'll also be keeping us updated on other airlines that jump into the pool on this. Gilbert, thanks a bunch for opening my eyes to this. I certainly have a ton of airline apps, but I don't have notifications turned on for all of them. I don't know that I'll turn all of them on because, like I said, I have a bunch of them, but I definitely think there are a few strategically that I'm likely to book in the future that I'll probably start turning on notifications to keep an eye out for offers.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking out for it. I think one interesting point is that I believe Hopper got themselves in trouble recently for saying that they had secret fares that nobody else had and that they had negotiated directly with a series of airlines to get these app-only discounts. And I think they were accurate in saying that they are, you know, starting to unlock these mobile only fares, but they were inaccurate in saying that they were the only ones that had them. So I think if you look at that app and the airlines that were involved with that, I believe it was Air China, Air Canada, Etihad, possibly in a couple more, I think we really will see this more and more often. So yeah, get some apps and look for some free money.
Yeah, and just as a word of advice to the folks listening in, not all airline apps are created equal. Some are quite good and some are quite horrible. You know, there's definitely a vast array of what's out there.
I completely agree.
Anyway, Gilbert, thanks a ton for coming on. Great space for us to watch in the future to see where airlines go. Just another wrinkle in how to find the cheapest ticket. When you're not hopping on with me, tell folks where they can find you.
You can find me at godsavethepoints.com. or on Twitter, where I'll be engaging with you and answering any questions you might have. So come find me and we'll chat.
And stay tuned because Gilbert is going to be on our brand new Now Boarding podcast, which launches shortly. And you'll be happy to hear his segment that we sat down on just about a month ago.
I can't wait to hear it too. So thank you.
Take care, Gilbert. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's The Final Two Pennies is more about a beginning than an ending. I've really been enjoying the podcast over the last 5 or 6 months, and as we were planning the podcast, you know, a second idea actually came up when we were getting ready to launch Miles to Go, and that's going to come to fruition this week in the form of the Now Boarding podcast, which will be the official boarding area podcast. That's where you find my blog, Pizza in Motion, along with a lot of other great folks, and that's going to be the focus of this podcast. We're going to be spending a half an hour or so with every blogger on boarding area, going in depth on why they love to travel, how they, you know, got bit by the travel bug, their favorite credit cards, their favorite destinations. And you know, we're launching this week. First episode up is a double take with Gilbert. So if you liked our segment with Gilbert this week, you'll hear him on the Now Boarding podcast as well. My friend Gene from The Chic Geek is up in one of the first episodes, as well as Brian from The Gate. Had a lot of fun recording with these guys, and we've got a lot of great episodes coming up. So I hope you'll check that out on all the places where you find the Miles to Go podcast. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. I had a lot of fun recording all the segments this week, and we're already getting ready on segments for next week's podcast. I hope you'll tune in again. In the meantime, if you're enjoying the podcast, I've got those two little favors to ask of you. If you can hit that subscribe button, and also if you can give us a rating, whether that's on iTunes or Google Play, SoundCloud, or Stitcher, that'd be super awesome. Don't forget, if you've got an Alexa-enabled device like an Echo, you can just enable the tune-in skill and you can tell Alexa that you want to listen to the Miles to Go podcast. Plenty more to come next week, but until then, we've got miles to go.